Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
You know, one thing about getting older is that you learn so much, but I kind of wonder why we aren't born with knowledge, that we have to take, it takes so long to learn so much. And then again, could we be on overload if we actually had to, you know, receive all that information right when we're born? So that makes sense, right? But, you know, that is one of the things. There's some things I don't like about getting older. And then there's some things I'm absolutely in love with about getting older. And that is the wisdom that does come with experience. And so I'm going to share today. I don't have any guests today. It's just going to be little old me and you, and I'm excited to be with you. So thanks for tuning in. But I wanted to share with you today something that happened over the weekend, and it was pretty intense. This has been happening a lot to me lately, and it's how I'm approaching life. You know, we really can get in a rut about how we see things, and journaling is really, I know I talk about this a lot on my shows, but I swear journaling saves me a lot because it makes me be truthful with myself. And one of the things I find is that my perception has a tendency to be off, and I can be stuck in situations or thought processes that don't help me grow. So lately, I've just been trying this thing, and I don't even use the word try very often, but let's just say lately I've been approaching life differently. And how I've been approaching it, and granted, I have faith in God, and so no matter whether you believe in God, the universe, or whatever you believe in, this can all work, you know, with you as well. But what I've been doing is just literally approaching everything with love. And I know that sounds corny sometimes, and if my husband's listening, he's probably rolling his eyes. But the situation here is that when you approach life with love, and this is love towards people, love towards your situation, love towards your schedule, love towards everything, everything feels a little lighter. And you don't feel, at least, you know, I don't feel that panic of, oh my God, what's going to happen? Or am I going to make it in time to this appointment? Or what's this person going to say to me? Or how am I going to pay this bill? If I just approach it with that. And so my title today, I guess you could say, the theme of today is what you think is what you will see. And I'll give you a couple examples. So I've had an incredible career. I'm really thankful for my music career and now my consulting career as well. But my music career, you know, it's kind of like a drug. You know, you get the fix and then you want another hit. And, you know, I've had some incredible experiences opening up for major national acts. And one of the acts I was able to open for was Bob Seger. And it was a goal of mine to I've played all of the larger venues in Michigan, but I'd never played the Palace of Auburn Hills, which was 20,000 people. And I really honestly didn't think as I was getting older that it was going to happen. And then I saw that Bob Seger was performing there, and I wanted to open for him. And I saw some of my friends, my fellow musician friends, they were able to open for him. And so I went to his management, and I just literally walked into the manager's office with unannounced, without an appointment, and just told him he needed to book me. Now, where I got that, those balls, excuse my language, but where I got that, I have no idea. I was so scared. I was shaking in my boots, and I was trying not to let him look me in the eye because I thought I was going to just, you know, throw up. But I ended up getting that gig, and it was incredible. Well, fast forward, I think 7 years now, Bob Seger's back in Michigan and he's back on the road. And I still had that little girl scared feeling again, like not deserving. And I went by their offices and the door was open. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I just, in my head, I said, I don't feel like being rejected today. So I just drove past. And I went out to lunch with a dear friend. And she said, the door was open. I think that's a big sign. Don't you think you should go back? And I was like, nope. And she's like, you know, God opened the door for you. I said, if we all know how powerful God is. You know, I don't need to go through that door. He can just make it happen. Well, after my lunch with her, I decided, all right, I'll drive around. And if the door is still open, I'll go in. But if it's closed, I'm not going in. I mean, these are the games I play with myself. How exhausted am I, right? So sure enough, the door was open. I'm like, dang it. So I went in. And of course, one of his assistants says he's not there, even though I can hear his voice upstairs. And then his other assistant said he was busy, but she'll see what she can do. And he came down the stairs and I was all ready for rejection. That's where my head was. That's what I was thinking. All set. And sure enough, the first thing out of his mouth was, no, we're not putting you on the Detroit shows. And that's what I expected. So I was like, yep, that's what I thought. And he said, but you don't need to be in Detroit. You need to be out there. You need to be in other cities. Everybody knows you here. He said, I should have put you on an Indiana show. Or I should have put you on Ohio. I said, now you're telling me? Now you're telling me you should have? And here I have Mr. Manager telling me. He said, yeah, I made a mistake. I almost fell over. And I thought, Jill, are you really listening? Are you removing that negative demon in your brain to really hear what this man is saying? He is saying you deserve it. And he said, I'll see what I can do to put you on some fall shows. So everybody put good energy out and let's hope that the Jill Jack Band will be on tour with Bob Seger this fall. But my point being is I went in there with the same mentality that I've had for 20 years with Bob Seger and his management. And that is, I'm not deserving. And if we tell ourselves things long enough, damn straight, you're going to believe it and you're going to live it. And then you're going to experience it. So I went to this folk festival this weekend and I had Craig Carrick as one of my guests on my show last week. And we were talking about the festival and how beautiful it was. And Craig did something for me that I do for my clients. And that is he pushed me into areas that I wasn't comfortable. But we've played that festival numerous times. And normally we'd be coming from another gig. We'd unload our gear, get on stage, do the performance, load the gear back up, maybe go back to the hotel, grab some dinner, and then go home the next day. Well, this year, Craig had asked me if I'd stay longer and do more. He asked me to do a writer's workshop, and I've done those before, so I was pretty comfortable with that. But then he asked me to do a spiritual hour, and I'd never done that before. So you have to understand this festival has three stages, main stage, a parlor stage, and then an old schoolhouse that's probably hundreds of years old. Really cool vibe. But I was like, I don't even know what to do. I've never done it. And what if people don't come? And then there were the people that used to run it that I thought, oh, they hate me and they're going to kill me for doing this. And who do I think I am to do it? Well, I don't know. There's something inside of me that decided to fight that. And I approached the festival with pure love. I walked in and I just continually had a smile on my face. And anyone and everyone that would talk to me, I gave them a big hug, told them it was great to see them. And my whole weekend was just reciprocated. I felt so much more love back. I had no insecurity. It was incredible. It was something different where before when you're on a festival with, you know, 50 some odd bands, you have a tendency to get insecure. There was a band that was playing right after us on the main stage and we got off and this band was so talented. And I was thinking, oh man, I wonder if the audience is like, okay, let's hurry up and get her off the stage to get these people on. And so when I went backstage, one of the bandmates of that band said, great, now we got to follow you. And I said, oh my God, that is so funny because I was just thinking the audience can't wait for me to get off the stage to get you on. He said, nope. I think we're both. And so it's just so funny how we all have these voices in our head. And so what is our perception and how much of insecurity plays into that perception. What does that do in your life? How many opportunities are you missing because your perception is off? You know, we have these choices we can make. Like I chose not to go into Bob Seger's management's office the first time. It took a friend to basically kick me in the butt and say, are you kidding me? The door was open. So how many doors are open in front of you that you're too busy feeling insecure or, you know, the old self-sabotage that you keep yourself from opportunities that are literally right in front of your face? And, you know, we can sit there and talk ourselves out of everything. You know, one of the things with self-sabotage, I think there's a comfort there. Because with self-sabotage, if you tell yourself, oh, you know, I'm probably not going to get it, then you don't have to try as hard. And two, if you are rejected or you fail, you can be like, yep, see, told you, and it doesn't hurt as bad. But what happens if you succeed? You know, what happens if that one thing that you said you couldn't get, you actually get, or you succeed at? What happens then? So where do you store that? And I think one of the things that I know for me, you know, I'm a go-getter. So, you know, I try to go get things and then I succeed at that. And then instead of sitting in it, I move straight for the next catch. What am I going to get next? How am I going to work on this? What am I going to do? What's wrong with just sitting in your succession? That's the right word. But the bottom line is enjoy what you're doing and what you've actually made happen for yourself and that the universe is there. One of the things I love to say to my clients when they're like, when I ask them, I had a client last week at Dream Big, and I said, you know, you have a long list of things that you want to do in your life. I said, let's just kind of start tackling that list. Why don't you give me the one that pops in your head first? And this woman literally had a physical reaction to that question. She started rubbing her forehead. She's like, oh my God, I feel sick. No, I can't pick it. Nope. I said, take a deep breath. I made her stand up. And this is how far we can get from keeping ourselves from doing what we want to do. And she said she wanted to be a comedian. It finally came out. And she's like, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. And I said, well, okay, now I said, you can sit down. She's like, no, I can't. She started pacing the room. She had kept this dream so buried that it was physically making her sick to let it out. This is how far you can go with things. So by the end of the session, we had all these plans for her. And by the time she left, she was so excited. She was in tears. She couldn't wait to tackle what was going to be an incredible journey for her. And it's not as difficult as she thought it would be. Now, granted, there's going to be rejections with what she does, but there's rejections in life every day. Why not get rejected trying to do what you love to do? So there's a difference between faith and doubt, right? Isn't it nice to think of faith? Isn't it nice? Isn't it a lighter feeling than doubt? Faith gives you hope. And with hope gives you light. And with light, it gives you your first step towards a change. And why not do that instead of doubt? You know, sitting on your couch, I doubt if I could get that. Oh, no way could I get that. No way. Why would somebody allow me to do this? You know, it always looks so big. Everything always looks so big when we're trying to tackle what we think is unattainable. But when you really break it down, and you take slow steps. This is what I tell my clients. The universe is literally, picture this. Always picture this. The universe and God are sitting on a couch. And you're in the chair in front of them, but you don't see them. And they're tapping their feet and they're kind of, you know, tapping their fingers on a table, just waiting for you to make a move because they're ready for you. But they can't do it without your help. They give you all of these things all of these signs. You just have to look for them. And I know it might sound crazy to some people who are listening, but I tell you, you ask the universe, you ask God to show you some signs, they will slap it right on your forehead. They're just waiting for you to make the move. And so I always think of this too. I think society somehow, and I don't know where it comes from, and I don't know if it's society, but you know, we always think we have to sweat and strain and hate our job. Why? Like, where'd that come from? And I'm not sure where it came from, but I know that it's not like my parents raised me and said, you're going to hate everything that you do for the rest of your life. They don't. But I think the work hard mentality also kind of has a negative connotation that you can't enjoy while you're working. Imagine waking up and being excited to do what you get to do. And everyone always says, oh no, I can't. I won't make any money. Well, you won't if you say it. You're absolutely right. You will not make any money if you say you won't make it. But if you say, I'm going to do the best I can, I'm going to look for my signs, I know I can do this, but I need help. And next thing you know, now it's not like the angels come down right in front of you and go, come here, hold my hand, and I'm gonna go lead you the way. But Joe Schmo, your neighbor, might come over and start talking to you about something. Open your ears. They may have a connection. They may have a job offer for you. It comes in really weird ways, and it's not usually the way we expect it. Like the open door. You know, granted, that seemed huge to me because usually their door is locked. So the fact that it was open, I was like, all right, the universe was literally screaming at me. And what did I do? I drove past it. I made a conscious decision not to go in. I mean, I could just like, you know, imagine that the universe and God were throwing up their hands like, are you kidding me? What else do we have to do to prove to her? And so, you know, this is the signs I'm asking you to look for. Who's out there to help you? There's so many people. There's so many opportunities. And this is where journaling comes back. Write down your honest truth. You know, I have hour sessions with my clients, and I think the first 45 minutes is hearing them talk. And then all of a sudden, I really get down and dirty. I just kind of wait. It's a timing thing. And I let them talk. I let them get comfortable. And then I ask them to speak their truth. And do you know that the whole 45 minutes they're talking in a tone. It's like usually nervous giggling or, you know, a lot of sighing, a lot of different noises. But when I literally ask them to speak their truth, do you know that it comes out in a whisper? What does that mean? Why are we keeping our truth so deep? What are we protecting it from? We're actually not protecting it. We're suffocating it. And if we all spoke our truth more and really truly lived in love with ourselves, imagine that, being in love with yourself. Doesn't that sound kind of cocky? But it's not. I mean, imagine giving yourself a hug every day. Wouldn't it be nice? I actually gave myself a hug this morning. I was struggling with something that happened, and I'm going to share it at this festival I was at. You know, I put all this love out, and there was an artist there that I really wanted to meet, but I didn't want to go up to him and bother him because he was kind of famous. And I thought, oh, you know, I'll just get on his nerves. So I'm not going to do that. And so I literally, you know, walked past him, just kind of nodded. And I had my show that night, and the next morning he came up to me. I didn't think he was walking towards me, and I'm thinking, oh no, he's not walking towards me. He's walking towards somebody else. And sure enough, he walked right up to me and he said, I saw your set last night. It was amazing. And I literally almost fell over. And it was because somewhere between the time I chose not to say hi to him, I told myself, I am worthy. I am worthy. And for him to come up to me then was such a magical moment. Well, 20 minutes later, that man was laying down on the ground. He had a heart attack and basically died. And my wonderful bandmate, Mark Iannonce, and I and a bunch of people ran over, Some called 911. Thanks to Mark, he screamed out, call 911. And I started CPR. And I didn't even have time to think, but I was hoping I was doing it right. Hadn't done it in years. And Mark asked if I wanted him to take over. And it was like, no time for ego here, sister. And I said, absolutely. And he, being the strong one and knowing how to do it correctly, he did it. Well, there was no pulse. He was turning blue. And all I kept thinking is, he's a performer. He loves music. So I just started singing Amazing Grace. And then I saw that his eyes went flat. And I thought, my God, we're going to lose him. And I just started praying over him. Asked God, asked the universe, please bring him back. Please bring him back, you know. And all of a sudden, the man woke up and said, hey. And I was like, whoa. It was freaky. It was the most amazing, emotional, scary. There were so many feelings I had all at one time. I didn't even know how to really comprehend what just happened. I witnessed death, and then I witnessed life. Basically, life, death, life. We were just talking 20 minutes before, and here he was, dead on the ground, and then he was up talking again. And I'm happy to say that he is now in the hospital getting a pacemaker put in, making jokes. He's in a better, obviously physically better. And I'm so inspired by my bandmate Mark Iannucci on his grace and ability to take control of the situation. I will treasure this memory as much as emotionally I've been a wreck all day just thinking about it, but life can go by that fast. Do you know that this man married his grade school sweetheart, and he went on to make beautiful films? He's 80 years old and he's touring the country with his music. Now, along the line, somebody could say, you're too old. What are you doing on the road? His wife passed away years ago. I mean, he makes enough money where he could stay home. But you know what? He's living his life. And if he had passed away, my guitar player, Chris, said, well, if that was a way to go, that would be a way to go right after you perform. And I thought about that. He was right. You know, I mean, I got to say, knock on wood, I'm not ready to go anytime soon. But if I was to go, it wouldn't be so bad to go right after you just sang your heart out, right? Literally. But here's my point, ladies and gentlemen. You don't know when you might find yourself in that situation. Don't you want to think about that? That if you were to die today or tomorrow, that you did everything in your power to live the life that you really wanted. You know, God and the universe want you happy. You're supposed to be happy on this planet. Think about that. What makes you happy? What makes you not happy? It's really that simple. Who are the people that are bringing you down that shouldn't really be in your life, even if they have a title like a family member or a best friend that's been in your life, but somebody that is just sick, you know, sucking the life out of you, where there's people and angels around you making you feel like a good person and respecting you for who you are. This is what life is about, ladies and gentlemen. This is what it is for. You are here on this planet to share love and to receive love. It is that simple. And all I ask is that you do that for yourself and for the people around you. Be the example for those that aren't ready yet. And then maybe you can change their lives too. Wouldn't that be a cool feeling? So with that, I do want to say, I'm going to say this session is sponsored by the Nor'easter Festival. It is in Mayo. It will be next year as well in June. I believe it's usually the second week in June, always. Trust me, you need to go. It is life-changing. It was life-changing for me. It's beautiful music, beautiful people, and it is all full of love. So until next time, thanks for tuning in. I'm Jill Jack. You're listening to Dream Big.